a cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, He is Lord.
Isn't that awesome? So beautiful. So two Sundays ago, that happened. We had 32 people choose to publicly proclaim their faith in Christ with baptism. That's amazing. And it was all ages, so from little kids to literally a 91-year-old man. I'll tell you more about him in just a minute. One thing that I will tell you is you need a little bit shorter pastor, because getting way down with the tide going out was rough for some people. We almost lost a couple, but thankfully the Lord didn't. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad you're with us today. We're finishing this series that we've been in, short three-week series, about what it looks like to walk the path of Jesus. And we've looked at three different invitations that Jesus makes. And I don't know what your background is or where you came from into church, but Jesus is constantly inviting us to move closer. He's constantly moving toward us. He is not heavy and burdensome. In fact, He promises that His way of life is easy and light. And so to do that, He invites us first to come and see who He is and also who we were meant to be. That was our first week. Second week, last, when we talked about the second invitation, is to follow Him, to learn the daily rhythms of doing life in the kingdom, to learn how to be close to Him and to be like Him. And then this week, we end with the final invitation, and it's one to go on mission with Him, and that invitation is to go and to be. Before we jump into that, though, I was thinking about what the most probably successful, popular, money-making film franchise over the last 30 years has been. And I'm wondering if you have a guess. What would you say? What film franchise has done the most over the last 30 years? What'd you say? Star Wars, close. What I heard over here. Mission Impossible. What is it? I mean, 8 films, 30 years, Tom Cruise looks better than ever, had to make a deal with the devil, something, I don't understand. That whole concept, though, is unbelievable. Every time we show up in the movie theater, it's tagged as the impossible mission. And you and I go in wondering if He's going to do it or not. And we're on the edge of our seat the whole time. He always does it. The mission always gets accomplished. And you know that iconic line that every movie starts with, right? When you first see Him, it's this, your mission if you choose to accept it. And then it gives the mission of the day. And it's always global. It's always dangerous. It's always life or death stakes. And it's always going to cost Him something. And I think about the fact that that is so similar to what Jesus invites us into for mission. The great mission that He sends His disciples out on, we find in each of the Gospels, but I want to read to you one of them. It's in the book of Matthew in chapter 28. We're going to look at that for a few minutes. I'm going to make a few comments about it and then give you an opportunity to put into practice what Jesus asked. But before I do, the context is this. The disciples, Jesus' closest followers, they have spent the last 40 days being with a resurrected Christ. They watched Him over 3 years heal people, perform miracles, love people that no one loved. Then they watched Him die, literally bleed out on a cross, buried, cold body in a tomb. And then for 40 days, talk about mission impossible, they've been walking around with a resurrected Christ. And He tells them, I want you to come meet me up on this mountain in Galilee, and I'm going to give you further instructions. And that's where we pick up the story. It says this in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's 11 of them now, it says, which, by the way, you should take note of that. They start out with 12. So not all of them are there. They're not all in. They don't have all their questions answered. Did you notice that? It said that some of them doubted. I mean, really, you and I often are like, God, just give me a sign. They were standing on a mountain with resurrected Jesus and still like, are we sure? I don't know. It's so human to have doubts. They weren't all in. They weren't all there. They didn't have all their questions answered. So Jesus, in a way of helping them to walk into the purpose he had planned for them, he uses one little word. Did you catch it? It got repeated a whole bunch of times in the text. All. They weren't all there, so he tells them all that they need to know. The word all in Greek is pas. It means all. The totality. Everything. Wholeness, completeness. So when Jesus uses the word all, that's what he means. Everything. And I want to show you the four alls that he gives them to reassure them on this mission that he's sending them out on. The first is he tells them that he has all authority. Now, I think that's a really interesting thing. He could have said, I have all power, but authority is something different. Jesus demonstrated in his life that he had power. You can go back and read any of the stories. You know many of them. But he had power and the ability to control the wind, the weather, the sea. You remember that? So power over nature. He had power over sickness. He would heal just with a touch, sometimes even with a word. He had power over demons. He had power over sin. And he ultimately showed that he had power and authority even over death. Jesus says, I don't just have the ability to rule now, but God has placed me in a position to be the king in charge of it all. Not only can I do this, but this is the new normal way of life for all of you. I have authority, and I'm actually, did you catch it? Giving it to you. I'm sending you out under that authority. So as you think about impossible missions, does something come to your mind right now that in the world that you see a place of brokenness, a place of injustice, something that just doesn't, it's just not right, and that seems impossible to you? Can you think about something that seems impossible? Like maybe it's world hunger, the fact that most people in the history of the world have gone to sleep with a rumbling in their stomach, wondering where tomorrow's meal is going to come from. Maybe it's the orphan problem in every country in the world, basically. Maybe for you, it's the, you drive down Harbor Boulevard or something, and you look at it, and the impossible problem, the one that you just can't imagine how it could be solved, is the homeless issue, or those who are being trafficked. Maybe the impossible thing for you is addiction, or some other form of brokenness. Jesus says, you can come up with any persistent, pesky problem that you want, and I have authority over it. What if the impossible situation that you think about was actually Jesus' invitation for you to step in and do something about it? Can you imagine if his plan to address that was you? He says, you have all my authority. I am sending you. And then he says, where am I sending you? I'm sending you to all the nations, or in other words, all the people, to every people group, every language, every ethnic background. I don't want my kingdom, I don't want this family that I'm building to be missing any group. So I want you to go to all of the nations, every place that there's not an understanding of who Jesus is and a way of practicing life the way he described, we are to go to. But it's not just about going to faraway places. That's what's so interesting about this Great Commission. The Great Commission is not just going to somewhere. It's about becoming the kind of person that brings Jesus with you everywhere. So all the people include those on the other side of the ocean, for sure. But they include also the people on the other side of town, and the people on the other side of the street, and the people on the other side of the room. Are we living in a way that we go in Christ's authority to all the people? God has not called most of us. He's not going to ask most of us to quit our job, sell our house, and move to Africa or Southeast Asia or Siberia. It's not the normative way. Instead, he rescues some from every group, and then he says, now go live like what I said was true. In my authority to all the people. And then thirdly, he says, what are we supposed to do when we get there with them? Teach them to obey all the commands. One more time, just so that we're all on the same page. What does all mean? All the commands. This becomes a problem for us, doesn't it? Because some of us were like, Jesus, I really like that one. Like, treat others the way you wish they'd be treated. I especially like it when people treat me like that. That's a good one. We'll keep that. And then he says things like, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With everything that you are and everything that you have, love God. And then he says, oh, yeah, and love your neighbor just the same way that you love yourself. I had a pastor that for a long time, when he would teach about this, he would always say the same thing. He would say, how do you love yourself? Well, you care for yourself. You take yourself to get medical help when you're sick. You feed yourself. You clothe yourself. You provide opportunity for yourself. You leverage things for your pleasure and your comfort and your flourishing, right? So just do that for everybody else. That's how you do this. Love others. And then we're like, hold on, what's going to be left over for me? What's going to be left over when my time, when I serve like that, Jesus, or when I choose to use my dollars that way, what's going to be left over for me? And he goes, no, you just become a community of people who love each other so well that the world takes notice and watch what I do. I have all authority. I'm sending you to all the people to obey all the commands. Some of the ones that Jesus made, there were lots of commands that he talked about. And what we find, the longer that we walk with him, the more that we come and see who he is that they're not just rules meant to like kind of break our will. Although some of them feel like they're doing that. They are the best way to live life. Jesus' ethic on sex is the best way to handle your sexuality. Jesus' ethic on money is the best way to handle what God has given you. Jesus' teaching on how to serve other people and psychology, sociology, philosophy, all of this confirm his way of life is the best way to live. So his commands are meant for not only your flourishing, but for others. So go teach them all, baptize them, make them, the word is disciples. A disciple is just an apprentice, just somebody's learning how to do it the way Jesus would. And he sends us on mission with all of that. Finally, he says, and I'll go with you all of the days. I love that. All the days. Which days? The ones where we feel defeated and discouraged. The ones where you wake up and you're like, serve somebody else. I'm depressed. You know, there's actually a scripture that says if you're in depression, to go and serve someone, and that your depression will lift like the dawn breaking in. Isn't that beautiful? His way of life is good for you. I'll be with you all those days and the days when you're celebrating when it's successful. I'll be with you when you feel like you have what it takes, and I'll be with you when you are certain that you don't. I will be with you all the days. It's always funny to me in those Mission Impossible movies. They always have this moment where there's like something that's so difficult, so hard. The last one, the most recent movie, there was this scene where Ethan Hunt is in this submerged ship and it keeps rolling. Any of you see this? Do you remember this? It like rolls side to side. I'm not kidding you. This one scene is 20 minutes long. And every time you think it's about to work, then the ship rolls again. And there's no way for him to get out. And I know that they're not killing Tom Cruise. But my palms are sweaty. My heart's kind of racing. I'm so into that moment. And I think sometimes serving Jesus is like that too. You feel like, I'm not sure, God. And yet you know how the movie ends. In fact, I'm going to tell you how in just a couple of minutes. Because God doesn't send us out alone. And he doesn't send us empty-handed. Remember, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What seems like an impossible mission is a mission with Jesus who makes a habit out of doing what seems impossible. He's done it in your life. He's done it in mine. And he's going to do it again. But here's the problem, okay? I got, what does that say? 15 minutes left. Don't turn around and look. The problem is this. We as a church have a tendency, and I don't just mean our church, I mean the broad church. We have a tendency to replace the priority of mission with a preoccupation of maintenance. You know, whenever somebody gets commissioned in the army or the military, there's enlisted people, those who just sign up or they get drafted and they're in, and then there's commissioned officers. And commissioning happens where you stand up and somebody with authority says, now you listen to this person and here's all of the stuff that you're going to need for your mission. It's yours. You can direct resources. You got it all. Can you imagine seeing a commissioned officer that goes through all of that training and all that pomp and circumstance and stays in the barracks just shining shoes, just cleaning their gun, never getting out and doing anything? The church has often stopped at maintenance. What do I mean by that? I mean, just give me more content. Just another study. Just another worship service. You know, I love our one. Let me just stay here, Jesus. This feels so good. Just stay in this singing. We could sing for hours. I'll just do another one. Look, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Those are important things. They're really good things. They're just not the main thing. It's not the mission that he has us on. It's so easy for us to stay in our secure and safe spot when Jesus has called us to the war zone. Go and be. And by the way, find out when you get there that I'm already there at work. You're just joining something I'm already up to, in progress. I wonder why it is that we find it so tempting to just stay here. One of the reasons, I've told you this before, is I think that most Christians are 3,000 verses overweight. That we've just taken in a whole lot more, consumed a lot more than we've worked out. And so we kind of stay there. But another reason is because it's pretty human. Like even if you think about the disciples, this group that he's got on the mission right now, on the mountain, about to send them out, there were other times he pulled them up on a mountain. And he did amazing things on the mountains. Once he fed people with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, 5,000 people on a mountain. He taught the greatest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount. And one time, he even showed them his true identity. Before he was dead, before he was resurrected, there's this thing called the Transfiguration. It just simply means that Jesus went up on this mountain with a few of the closest ones, and he just let God pull the curtain back. And they saw him in his glory. They saw what all that authority looked like, and they were absolutely blown away. And if you remember the story, the disciples at that point, they're like, oh, Jesus, let's just stay right here. Let's don't ever leave. This is so good. And you remember what happened next? This voice comes from heaven. God, the Father, says, do what he tells you. And the very next thing that happened is they walked down the mountain, and a little boy who had been afflicted and oppressed by a demon gets healed by Jesus touching him. The most tangible of ways to show love. That's what he wants them to do. We don't just stay in here in maintenance mode, just simply going over the same stuff, feeling good about what God has done for us. We are on mission. Okay, little time out. How's this feel? How's it hitting you? Like, it's hot up here to me, by the way. I don't know if it feels that way there. And it may be the humidity. Or it might be that God's stirring something in you right now. Like, yeah, that's me. And he never does it. If you're hearing conviction or a condemnation, like, oh, you lazy, sorry sack, I told you. If that's what you're hearing, that's not him. That's a different spiritual entity. But if you're hearing, yeah, I have gotten bored. I have gotten complacent. I do want to see more. I do want to experience this. If that's what you're hearing, that is the voice of God speaking to you right now to go. Jesus told the disciples and those watching at one point, here's how bad it is. If you are, if I compared you to salt, if you are the salt of the earth and you lost your saltiness, like you're no good to me anymore. If you're a light supposed to be on a hill to show people the glory of God and somebody puts a covering over it, you're no good to me anymore. So let your light shine before men so that they will see your good deeds. Go and be and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Go on mission, an impossible mission with the God of the impossible. Jesus gives them this mission, and for us, we've tried to take it and contextualize it. So I just want to tell you a little bit. Part of it, as you certainly heard, is to make disciples, to tell people the good news of the gospel and to invite them to follow. But another part of that is the action of love, the tangible ways of love. And so here at St. Andrew's, we've got three areas that we focus on that you can be involved in. Three things that we believe are right at the heart of God that we can engage. So all of our partners around the world and locally fit into one of these. And it's vulnerable children, it's unreached people, meaning folks who have not heard this message, and it's the shalom of the city. And some of you are like, what in the world does shalom mean? It's a Jewish word that simply means flourishing. It just means wholeness. So every place there's brokenness, we say we can remedy that. God on our side, God helping us, we can bring to bear resources and things that bring flourishing to every person in our city, in our county, and places around the world. So we've got this new partner that I'm really excited to tell you about. And I know this is not for everybody, but for some of you, this is going to resonate with your heart, and you're going to make a decision today that's going to change the rest of your life. I mean that. This partner is called Foundation for His Ministry. It works with those exact people in Mexico, and I want you to check this out.
When I think of a story of transformation, one that comes to mind is of Kayla. When she was 15, she came to our home in Oaxaca with her two-month-old. Her daughter was the result of abuse that had happened within the family. She had been rejected by her family, by her mother, and she had been forced to drop out of high school. So she came to our home and found a safe place to live. With us, she found what we all long for, which is a sense of belonging. And today, 15 years later, Kayla works at our home at the Baja Mission. And she graduated from the university with high honors. And now she has her 15-year-old daughter who lives with her, and she's a phenomenal mom to her. And most importantly, she is a follower of Jesus, an active member of her church. The best part of my job is that I get a front row seat to see God do miracles in renewing people's lives.
And my own life was radically changed through Foundation for His Ministry.
Now that is the power of the gospel. That is the Great Commission alive in Baja, Oaxaca, and Tijuana. And now, St. Andrew's, we invite you to come and be a part of it.
At Foundation for His Ministry, our vision is to renew lives one heart at a time. We do this by rescuing, reaching, and restoring, all in the name of Jesus.
For over 60 years, we've seen God's heart for the lost and vulnerable expressed through this simple but powerful mission.
We rescue children from abuse, neglect, and abandonment. They're welcomed into our Christ-centered children's homes where they receive safety, love, education, and support that transforms their futures and brings them hope.
We reach the lost, especially in the unreached regions of Oaxaca, Mexico.
In Oaxaca, there are towns that still do not have existing churches where people are still persecuted for the gospel. And so we support local missionaries who speak the indigenous languages and who are doing the hard work of living in these dark places and sharing the gospel.
And we restore lives through the healing love of Christ, from our drug and alcohol rehab ministry to our medical clinics and counseling services. We help people experience the wholeness and healing that only Jesus can bring.
I have been a part of St. Andrew's for the last 3 years, and I am so excited about this partnership with Foundation for Islam Ministry, because I know when congregants go down to Mexico that they're going to experience the love of Jesus in a new way. We always say at the mission that you will never be the same.
Well, I have been so excited to introduce this new ministry partner to you. As you can tell, they are just doing incredible things and living into everything that Jesus invited us to partner with him in. And I've been excited to invite each of you to join us on our first ever trip down to Baja with our church, November 8th through the 11th. There are about 45 spots available. Registration is open right now, and you register online. And there's a place for you. I often get asked before mission trips, like, well, I don't know what I would do, or I don't feel qualified, or I don't feel like I know Jesus well enough. And as you heard, Jesus just says, come. So that's our invitation. Come as you are. Come bring what you have, and he will use your availability. While we're there, our primary focus is going to be working with the kids in the children's home. We'll be doing everything from crafts to sports, and not all of you like crafts, and not all of you like sports. Same with the kids. So we'll divvy the kids up into the things that they like. There's also an opportunity to be on the work crew, working alongside the facilities. As you can see, they've got a huge campus, so there's always things to be done, construction, painting. They have a huge garden. They have a whole bunch of things. So there's literally a place for everyone, and we invite you to come down. I would ask that you would prayerfully consider joining us. But I also want to say, one of the things that is most exciting to me about this partnership, it's about a 5.5-hour drive, mostly toll roads, all the way down the coast in Mexico. It's gorgeous. You might even just want to stop and look at the ocean, but keep going, get down there. And when you are there, you don't have to just go with our church. You can go all throughout the year. They're a pretty robust facility. They've got English-speaking staff. They have guest housing. So you can go down as a family and do a summer serve trip as a family or all through the year. You can take, you can do a fall trip with your small group, or you could go down as an individual, just dipping your toe into what does it mean to say yes to this invitation that Jesus gives us. So, after the service, we brought in churros. We need to eat all of them. And also, if you want to meet Jill and Janelle, they are going to be out on the plaza. You can ask them more about the mission if you want to know, but sign up online, and I hope that you'll prayerfully consider joining us.
I heard Connect Center and churros. That's the two main things that stuck out. So join us, find out about that. And what if Mexico's not their thing? What else?
Absolutely. We have so many incredible things happening in the life of all of our ministry partners. This has been a really sweet season. If I had a half hour, which I don't think I get.
You don't.
You would be so encouraged to hear the stories that we hear on almost a daily basis of what it looks like when people say yes. So, three opportunities come to mind that you can all engage in immediately. You can find out the details about all of these things out in the Connect Center. We actually have people associated with each of the three things I'm going to mention who will answer all your questions. But join Labors of Love. It's monthly. You can be part of strong communities or supported by the care community or strong families and the care communities that support them. And you can also jump into our tutoring of students with Project Hope Alliance. So we hope that you'll come find out all the ways that you can serve here locally. And earlier this summer, some of you were out traveling and did not get a copy of our Outreach Observer, but this is something we publish a few times a year. It's a couple months old, but you'll see and be encouraged by some of the things that have been happening and a few things that are still happening in here. But this is just a great guide. If the three things in Mexico that I just mentioned are not a good fit, you might read some other things in here where you feel Holy Spirit's whisper. So in closing, I want to say, we're not looking for volunteers. That's Newport culture. We're looking for kingdom people who say yes, a holy yes to God's invitation. So come join us in mission locally or globally. Thanks.
Love it. Thank you, Julie. So, what seems impossible to you? Remember, maybe you remember this for yourself, or you're a parent or grandparent. you remember how impossible it seemed to learn how to ride a bike when you didn't know how? Remember what that was like? In the South where I grew up, you just kind of put a four-year-old or three-year-old on a bike and just roll them down the sidewalk and wish them luck. Like, it's the way we did it. They're resilient. They bounce back. It's no problem. But then I found that there's some other ways to do that. The fear of, like, or what seems impossible to be able to get on and fly down the street actually is possible when you have the right support. And any of you ever get one of these things, one of these little bikes where the kid is on there and they're pedaling and they're steering and it just seems like they're, look at me, look what I'm doing. And then the whole time you got that handle in the back that dad or mom is like holding behind. You're giving them the power. You're keeping them upright. This is what it looks like to go and be on mission. It is you and me getting on and pedaling our little hearts out and knowing that God has a hold of the handle, that he is empowering, that he is guiding, that he is protecting. I have all authority. So go to all the people, teach them to obey all I've commanded you, and I am with you always. That's it. That's the game. And that idea, I'll close with this. The idea of watching a Mission Impossible movie, and like I said, you know, you know how the story's going to end. Do you know how our story ends? And when I say this, I mean like the story of the world, of human history. If you don't know, I want to show it to you. Maybe you've never heard this before. What I talked about today, this Great Commission thing, Barna did some research not that many years ago that said only 17% of church-going Christians knew what the Great Commission was. Maybe that was you today. You had no idea. The reason that God sends us on mission is because there are places in the world that do not yet worship him. And he's doing something about that. And the story is going to end like this, that one day that resurrected Jesus, once crucified, once dead, now with power, now reigning and alive, he will come back and he will make everything right. That the world and all the things that you and I right now have our hearts broken over or that we feel are impossible, one day it's going to be normal. This is how the writer John says in Revelation, talking about the end of those days. Look, one day God will dwell among the people and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and he himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For that's the old way. The old order of things is past. This is where it's going. You know the end of the story. The invitation is for us to start living that way now and to rescue people who literally before them will have to make a choice to be rescued and to live in that kingdom or to be separated from him forever. I know that's not popular. I know that doesn't sit well. It's just that that's what Jesus said, and he's the one who rose from the dead, so I just kind of take what he says seriously. So St. Andrews, let's go be Jesus to people who need it. Let's get on mission with where he's taking us. Take one step today, wherever it is in your life, across the room or across the ocean, but take one step and find out that not only is he already there at work, but he's waiting for you to join him in the greatest adventure you could possibly imagine. A.W. Tozer, in closing, said it like this once, that God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. It looks like you're the people. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for not making us a people without a purpose, but that you've created and then you've recreated and you've rescued us and you've given us life and you've forgiven our sins, like you've made us new, so that we could join you on this project that you have of restoring the entire world. God, I pray that you would help us. Help us today to not be content with maintenance, with spit shine in our shoes and polishing our rifles. God, but you would have us join you. That we would go knowing that we cannot fail because you've already won I pray for each person here, God, you would do something today that would just begin, just highlight, give them a thought, give them an image, give them a word that comes to mind, a way that they can join you on a mission that you've planned for them already. And God, I pray that you would let us see what incredible things you do with our frail and feeble yes. They worship, but some doubt it. God, take us in our uncertainty. Take us in our ill-equipped selves and use us for whatever you want to do, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.